All right, tonight we'll continue on with our thought from last Wednesday night. We dealt with the Lord of the harvest and the lost of the harvest last week. And tonight we'll deal with the laborers. And of course, we are a part of that labor force that the Lord has given to this world, that we tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this month of March, we are dealing a whole lot primarily with missions because it is very, very important in the house of God. And I believe it's very important in the individual person's life to be involved in worldwide evangelism. We know that that Jesus is the Lord. We established that last week, how that He's Lord over creation and Lord over everything in this world that we have. And thank God we have a master that will take care of us and help us as we work for Him. And so we dealt with the Lord of the harvest. Then last week also we looked at the lost and so many people that we know. If we was to go around tonight and ask you how many people you know personally that are lost, it might be surprising to us as to the total. People, friends that we have, co-workers that we know, family members that are in our family that just do not know the Lord. And so there's many, many lost, but the laborers are few. And we read that last week. We'll read that again here in just a little bit. I believe every Christian, I believe every church ought to be involved in the task of giving the good news of the gospel to everyone that is living. That is the command that the Lord gives to His church, to go and to all the world and preach the gospel. And it is our responsibility as a Christian to do that as an individual. In missions, there's certainly no shortage of the harvest. Never has been a shortage of harvest. But always has been a shortage of laborers. Always has been plenty of people that we can deal with and we can talk to, and plenty of people that we can pray about and pray for. But the laborers are not as plenteous as maybe should be. And I believe that really pierced the heart of the Lord when He saw the sheep scattered, having no shepherd and having no ability to hear. The fields of human souls always produces what we would call a bumper crop. Always plenty. Always very, very minty. But the shortage comes in the laborers. It was that way in the Lord's day. It's that way in our day. And it will be that way probably in every day that is to follow. Because the shortage there is so great. It can consist of people that know the Lord, but yet do nothing about telling anyone about Him. So tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10, and we'll read these familiar verses, and then also we'll be reading in some other places also. But in Romans chapter number 10, and verse number 13, the scripture says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What a wonderful promise that is that God has given to us. That's why we say we believe in a whosoever gospel. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise from God, and it has been fulfilled in my life, and you that are Christians, it's been fulfilled in your life, because one day you called upon the Lord, trusted Him, had belief in your heart and knowledge in your heart of who He was and what your need was, and you trusted Him for salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now notice verse 14 and 15. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I'm glad tonight that we have glad tidings of good things. We have the message, we have the understanding that we have what will provide to this world and will supply and fulfill their need of salvation. Personal involvement is every believer's responsibility. It is the key to the gladness that is spoken of here. And we know that whoever calls will be saved and can be saved. But then Paul goes on to explain that they cannot believe, they cannot hear, they cannot have this understanding unless somebody tells them the good gospel, the good old story of salvation by grace. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or a proclaimer or a messenger that is given? So tonight here Paul tells us that the need is so great, and how can they hear? How can they be saved? And the bottom line is they have to have someone to tell them, have to have a messenger, have to have a preacher or a missionary. We're dealing with missions this month, and so we deal and think tonight about they must have a missionary. We had a missionary Sunday. We had a missionary last Sunday. We'll have a missionary this coming Sunday, and they are the ones that are the messengers to the world, to those to whom the Lord has called them to preach the gospel. And so they must hear the message, and they cannot hear without without a preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? There's twofold message here. We must have a messenger, and that messenger must be sent. And of course, we know the scripture teaches us and tells us and teaches us that we are, as a church, we are to be the sending agency to the world. God calls men and women. God calls families out of churches to go to other places to preach the gospel. Therefore, that makes a local church the sending agency. How can they go except they be sent? I believe by the church, and also primarily, more importantly even than the church, is they be sent by the Holy Ghost. That the Spirit of God calls them, and the Lord lays upon their heart a particular field, a particular place, and there they go preach. So how can they hear without a preacher? How can he go except he be sent? And I'm glad tonight that we're in the business of sending the gospel. We have families out of our church that are scattered around the world. We have different ones preaching in different places. And we have those that are proclaiming truth and those that are establishing churches. And that's fulfilling the commission that God gives to the local church. Now turn back to the book of Acts, chapter number 1, and we'll look at the commission that is found here in the first chapter of the book of Acts. All four of the Gospels have the commission, and then also the book of Acts has the Great Commission, and we'll read it tonight here in verse number 8 and verse 8 and 9. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Let's go ahead and read verse 10 and 11. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Here is the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ and the last words that Jesus spoke upon this earth that's recorded here in the book of Acts was recorded that we are to go into all the world. The last words of the Lord here upon His creation was telling His disciples to go into all the world, preach the gospel. He says, go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. Now the disciples didn't do that at first, but through persecution, of course, they were scattered. And as they scattered, as they went preaching the gospel. And they carried out that commission that way. So God has a plan of labor. And He makes it a pretty broad statement here to these disciples. He just uses one little word, and that word is ye. And that's a word that meant every one of them that was standing there, all those disciples. And since it's recorded in our Bible, that word also includes you and I. Ye shall receive power. Here we find the Lord talks to them as one that is required to have a personal involvement of the work of the Lord. Missions requires people to be involved. Missions will never be accomplished unless somebody gets involved with it, going and sending. As we read there in Romans, it takes both parties. It's a personal involvement, and it's a shared responsibility. We send out, we have missionaries out of our church, and they're responsible to the Lord to preach the gospel. We're responsible to them to help them maintain their livelihood and maintain their work that God's called them to do. And they have gone out what we call deputation, and they find other churches that will be led of the Lord to follow them and to be a partner with them in the gospel. And so therefore, through a conglomerate of a number of churches, I think they calculate now it takes about 100 churches, 90 to 100 churches to get a person, a family on the field. And the shame of it is there's a lot that have a lot less than that, that are on the field and fighting the battle and doing the work. But that's a statistic that I read not too long ago. And most missionaries do not have that. But to be sustained correctly and right on the field, it would take a number of churches to do that. So it's a shared responsibility. We have a responsibility to our missionaries. We have a responsibility that every month or every 2 months, however we set up to send out our offering, we have that responsibility to be faithful to the Lord that we can send that. Now, the only way that the church can send that is that we as individuals be responsible to the Lord and to give our missions and to give our tithes and offerings that the gospel might go forth. I heard someone say the other day that they paid their tithes. Well, when you pay your tithe, that doesn't sound too good. I'd rather give my tithe. Somebody said, well, I paid my missions. Well, it sounds a whole lot better. I know it all results in the same thing, but I'd rather willingly give it as to have to pay it. And so we find here the Lord gives us a plan. God identifies the laborers as ye. He identifies those that are busy in the work of the Lord, that are saved, and this is the requirement, that personal involvement, that shared responsibility, and the unselfish participation. I'm glad we can participate. I'm glad I can give to missions. I'm glad I can be involved in getting the gospel to these many countries that we have missionaries in. We have them call us, we have them write us letters, we have reports given to us, so we will know what is going on the mission field, and therefore we see that responsibility. We're responsible to send, they're responsible to do and to stay true to the Lord and then report back and give to us the things that the Lord has done. And I know every missionary tries to find, I read in letters all the time, and missionaries try to find something encouraging to write about. Sometimes pretty difficult. Sometimes very hard to find something that is encouraging, because maybe they've been in a battle that whole month or two. Maybe they've struggled with certain things, and they feel like churches are expecting a glowing report. I believe we all just respect whatever God says and whatever God does and what He gives to them. And so God gives us the key here, ye. That's the involvement of you and I. He equips, not only does He identify, but he equips. He says, you shall receive power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come. Of course, the Lord was talking to the church, and the power of God had not fallen upon them at this time. They were already established. They were already founded, and everything was ready to go. But he says, you tarry here until the Spirit endue you with power. And he says, and after that the Spirit of God comes, ye shall be witnesses to me. So he equips the laborers, and he gives them power of the Holy Spirit to preach the word. Thank God missionaries have the same responsibility as I do, and every other true preacher, and that's to preach the word of God, to preach not their ideas, not their thoughts, not their ways, or to preach somebody else's ways, but to preach the word of God. Paul says, preach the word, be instant in season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. And he tells us there that we are to preach the word of God, and then we're to perform the work that the Lord gives. I read different mission letters, and it's strange how the work is different around this world, how that the work is so very, very different in Africa that it is maybe in Denmark. We have a missionary in Denmark, and got word from him last week that he was an accepted missionary in the country of Denmark, which is doesn't happen very often. He couldn't even talk about being a missionary before this took place. He couldn't even put out letters or any kind of information. Couldn't be openly witnessing to people because it was against the law. But all the paperwork filled out, everything is done, and now he's a full-fledged, as far as their government's concerned, he's a missionary. And now he can do the work, but that work is much different than it is in the backside of Africa or in the jungles of the Philippines or wherever it might be. It's a different work everywhere, but the same work is to be accomplished to preach the gospel. And so the message is given, and we have power by the Holy Spirit, and we are empowered to do that. We're not only empowered, but we're enlightened. And the missionary is enlightened as to the will of God. I've talked to a lot of missionaries, been on a couple of fields, and my personality probably wouldn't do well in some places. Your personality might not do well in some places, but God enlightens us by the Holy Spirit as to what we can do. We have a mission. We have a message. We need to see the motivation behind all those things to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the laborers of the harvest, we are involved in participating in giving, and others are participating in going. And so he tells them here, your requirement is just you. Just need you. Just need someone available. Maybe not having as much ability as maybe somebody else, but just be available to work and to serve the Lord. And so he equips us with the power of the Holy Spirit. We shall receive power, and the Lord promised this early church. He says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And of course, we know that happened on the day of Pentecost. I believe the church was literally immersed in the Holy Spirit, and we have the work of God going forward, and multitudes getting saved, churches being established, and it goes on and continues even today. God outlines the task that is before us. The task is to be witnesses, to be a witness. Somebody says, I don't know how to be a witness. I've said for a long time, the best witness that you have is a testimony of what the Lord's done for you. A testimony of how God saved you. Because there have been books written, there have been organizations made on how to do and how to be and how to do it right, but the best thing yet is tell a personal testimony of what the Lord has done for you. I'm glad to be able to tell people. I'm glad to be able to have a testimony. I can remember what took place that night when I trusted the Lord. I can go back to the place. I can go back to the time. I can even hear the the preacher talking to me and knowing what he said and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ that night. And so we can be a witness by telling people about what he has done for us. Our message is salvation by grace. We can give that message not only by testimony, we can give it by track, we can give it by preaching, we can give it by radio broadcast, we can give it by good gospel singing. However it's possible for us to be a witness, I believe we ought to be a witness for for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a message, and we have a mission before us, and that's to tell the world about the Lord. This outline that gives us the task to be a witness, we can speak and be heard, we can testify and be seen, we can share and have the experience of knowing what the Lord has done. And I enjoy hearing how people got saved. I enjoy hearing how what day it was or what time it was or what the conditions around it were. And I've heard different ones tell about where they got saved and when they got saved. And it ought to thrill our heart of those testimonies together. To be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here that we are to be a witness in... Excuse me. We're to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all around the world. Doesn't leave any place undone, does it? Doesn't leave any place left out. We have the local place. That's their Jerusalem. Madisonville, Hanson, that's our Jerusalem. That's our location. The Lord has planted Grace Baptist Church. And therefore, we're to be witnesses in our local area. We're to be a witness in our Jerusalem, in our community, to tell people about the Lord and to make them see that the Lord is good for them. We are not only to do it locally, but we're to do it nationally. That's Judea and Samaria. That's the nation. That's the place that we're to send the gospel. That's our country. If a country ever needed the gospel tonight, it's not necessarily Japan. It's not necessarily Korea. But it is necessarily America. If there ever was a country that needed the pure gospel, oh, we've got plenty of religion. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got a lot of things to think about. But I'm talking about talking and preaching the true gospel. Our nation needs salvation. I believe it'd probably shock us if we knew how many people really are truly born again. Not talking about church membership, not talking about good people, not just talking about somebody that has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of people, there's a lot of good, moral acting people that are not saved, and they go to church all the time, and they think that's all they need. There's a lot of people that they have a list of things they must do. They've got to do certain things that they've been told in order to be in good standing with the Lord. Now, I'm glad tonight, thank God, it's only belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only in trusting Him. That's all we have to do. And so we are to be a witness in every place, locally, nationally, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. Now that uttermost part of the earth is where we usually have our thoughts on missions. We usually skip over local. We usually skip over national. And when we think of missions, we think of everywhere in the world. And we're to tell the whole world that Jesus saves. And that includes local, that includes national, and of course globally, to the uttermost part of the earth. Be witnesses in every place, all at the same time. Notice the wording here in verse number 8. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You should be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. Shall be unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, everywhere, all the same time. Preaching the gospel is a full-time ministry that folks have. Telling the world that Jesus saves is a full-time work. And we're not only just doing it in our local area. Now, there's a lot of folks, that's all they do. They just do locally. Then there's a lot of churches that don't do much locally, and they do it around the world. There's a lot of places that don't do a whole lot anywhere. But he tells us here that we're to do all of it at the same time. To be a balanced church, we need to be involved in total evangelism, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Matthew 9:38, we read these verses last week. And just real quickly, we'll go through this and then we'll be done. In Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 38. And this is also found in Luke chapter number 10, but we'll look in Matthew chapter 9. We're talking about the laborers, and we dealt with that a little bit last week. God's plea for laborers. The laborers are few. The messengers are in short supply. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 38. The scripture says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Jesus had looked upon the field. He had looked upon people. And the Bible says he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. And the scripture says he had compassion upon them. And he tells his disciples, he says the harvest is plenteous. There's no shortage in the harvest. There's no shortage in the field. But pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers. You know, one of the saddest things that you would see would be a field that's ready to be harvested and the farmer has no help to get it in, and it rots and it is destroyed. We had a friend one time, he had planted a field and the weather didn't cooperate, and everything he had, he lost that year because he was not able to get it in. It was ready to harvest. He had the ability to harvest. He had the understanding. He had the equipment, but he could not get in the field. Oh, we can get in the field tonight. The problem is we don't get in the field and we lose the crop, we lose the harvest, just like he lost his harvest. We have a command of God to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm not telling you anything you don't know and haven't heard year after year. We have a command to be obedient unto the Lord, and we have an example of Christ coming to this world that we might have life, and we do have the power of the Holy Ghost. We really have no excuse. Churches have no excuse, rather, not to do what God tells them to do, because they have the same command as we have. They have the same example of Christ, and they have the same power of the Holy Spirit. They have the same power that Jesus told his disciples there in Acts chapter number 1, that the power of the Spirit of God would be upon them. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 says he was moved with compassion because. And then the next few words there is because they fainted and were scattered abroad. The Lord saw the field. The Lord saw the harvest. He saw the need. He saw everything that was there. And the scripture says that he was moved with compassion. He was moved with feeling toward them because of all those things, but yet no one was there, no one able, no one there to take care. The condition of the lost, Psalm 142 verse 4 says, "No man cared for my soul." May that not be the message of the world, that we don't care. May that not be the message of lost people, that we do not care. The condition of the lost is that they're going to die without God and going to a literal place that's called hell. It is just as real as the pew you're sitting on and the floor we're walking on, the book that we're reading, just as real as the lights we see and the fan we feel. It's just as real as all those things. And people are dying every day without God. No wonder Jesus was moved with compassion. No wonder he said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel." No wonder he said, "I'll be with you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." No wonder he gave the commission in every gospel. and also the book of Acts, because the sensitivity of the Lord's heart was that He was moved with compassion and sorrow. The call of the Holy Spirit we find in Acts chapter number 13, verse number 2. When it comes to the work of the Apostle Paul, this is one of the reasons we believe in a called ministry. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Barnabas and Saul were called of the Spirit of God to go and preach the gospel. And he tells the church there in Acts chapter 13, "Separate, you take Barnabas and Saul, you separate them out to the work that I've called them to do." And that's exactly what we do when we have missionaries go out of our church. That's exactly what other churches do when the Lord touches a heart and touches individuals, and they have the call of God on their life, and they surrender to that call. God is saying, "Separate me, individuals. I have a work. I've called them." And we do believe in the call of the Lord. The Lord is sensitive to the need of the world, therefore He calls people. And then He says to the church to separate those men out and those families out, because He had called them that they would go, because Jesus is coming soon and we need to tell the story. God promises to the laborers. I'm not going to read all these verses, but there's five things here that God promises to the laborers. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, which is the Great Commission, He says, "Lo, I'm with you always." He presents and He gives and promises to them His presence. Thank the Lord tonight for the presence of God. Thank Him tonight for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank Him tonight for His walking beside us and being with us all the way. Not only does He promise the laborers His presence, but in John 14, 27, He says, "My peace I leave with you." And so He gives us His peace. We can have peace of knowing the will of God and then doing those things that's pleasing to Him. We read tonight Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and that's the promise of His power. He said, "I'll give you power in the Holy Ghost to go into all the world." Romans 8, 28, "All things work together for good to them that love God." That's the providence of the Lord. I was talking to Clarice today, and it's very difficult sometimes to have the heart, the understanding of her hurt or somebody else's hurt. And I told her, I said, "I know this doesn't help a thing in your heart and your life, but the Lord makes no mistakes. His providence is correct and right." I said, "The hard part we have is not knowing exactly what God has for us." And so we find that He has promised His providence. All things work together for good. We have missionaries around the world that's in hard places and difficult and dangerous places. All things work together for good to them that love God. Now that verse does not apply to the lost, even though I hear people that are lost apply it to their life. That doesn't apply, because the Lord identifies there who it's for. It's for those who are the called. For those who are saved, all things work together for good. May God help us to understand that as these laborers, these missionaries go around the world, God in His providence has given them certain things to do and certain places to go, and He protects them as they are in His will. And then in Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, 19, very familiar verse, God says, "I'll supply all your need according to my riches and glory through Christ Jesus." And so He provides provision. He gives His presence, He gives His peace, He gives His power, He gives His providence, and thank God for His provisions. He takes care of them. He labors for them. He blesses them with blessings untold and many times unknown. And so tonight, as we think about missions this month. We certainly need to be a part of that labor force of telling the world Jesus saves. There are those that are lost. They need to hear. And how can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? Thank God tonight the Lord calls. Churches and the Holy Ghost send. People hear. People get saved. Churches are established. There's no telling how many churches are represented by these flags that are hanging before us tonight. Churches that have been established because somebody gave their life and followed the call that God gave them to go into a part of the world that maybe nobody else wanted to go to. May God help us as we are planted in this part of the world that we'd help send to that part of the world. And Jesus would be honored and we would be blessed for telling Him. How shall they preach except they be sent? The glad tidings is spoken of there in Romans 10:15. For the nations to experience the gladness of the gospel, it requires the cooperation of every believer to send or to go. If we're not going, we ought to be sending. I've heard that all my life. And that's a true statement because it is our responsibility to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, to every nation, to every creature that they might hear and be saved. Let's stand together tonight.